Hello, friends. On today's show, California firefighters do a different nice thing. Some old bird lays an egg. An asteroid is on its way. Yeah, not really. And students troll a small town and won an award. That's coming up. Jessica, please give us the intro.
We all need that one friend, don't we? The one that, no matter how crazy things get around us, always has some good news to share? Hey, what if you had two friends like that? That's twice the good times. On the rocks, not for long, because everything sounds better when you're two beers in. Now, here are your hosts, Brett Weaver and Monica Ballard.
What I keep doing is doing recordings that are super hot.
Yes.
Like, not sexy hot.
We're a super hot.
As in,
we're a super hot show.
This device, luckily, has a compressor and a limiter on it. So most of the time, it doesn't get blown out. But when I pull up, when I'm mixing the thing down later, and I see that it's just, like, solid all the way across the waveform, I'm like, oh, that's not good.
That is not good.
So I'm constantly trying to, you know, bring down our recording level and bring up our listening level, the monitoring level, because that's what continues to happen. It also helps that now we're not in a super dark dive bar like we usually are, so I can actually see the numbers on the Zoom.
Plus, I actually do the right podcast. Those other guys were so confused when I joined theirs.
Yeah, you were like, so...
I know.
And they're like...
It's like, who are you, and what do you know about cockfighting?
Yes.
What?
You're like,
I'm Elon Musk. Shut
I'm
up,
Doug, and I know a lot about cockfighting.
I've seen the videos. Wait, which kind are you talking
about?
What are we talking about?
That being said, you are listening to Two Beers In, a show about cockfighting and the people who love them.
I did not bring my notes.
I am one of your hosts, Brett Weaver. I am enjoying a Guinness. Later, why that is.
Okay. I'm Monica Ballard. I'm having a very rosy Austin East Cider right here. It's delightful.
And there was Doug.
And I'm having a Two Hearts APA, American PA.
Sure. And some subpar nachos.
And some nachos that look really good and don't taste as good.
And it didn't. Yeah, because we're here at BD Riley's. As you know, we've been traveling. We're at BD Riley's in the Mueller development.
Yeah.
Cult.
Over on the east side of Austin.
Formerly the airport.
Yeah, there was an airport here. In fact, there's still
the control tower is still here. Yeah.
Yep. We thought we would tell you some stories and drink some beer and
talk about good stuff.
Yep.
Good news. Good news. Good news.
So one good news thing that I could tell you about is that Nando's Peri Peri Chicken.
Oh, I hate you.
I'm going to be enjoying that after our recording today. Doug had subpar nachos, and we are going to go have some really excellent chicken.
Well, I know that when I travel to Ireland this October, one thing I'm going to be on the lookout for is a good nacho restaurant.
Yes.
All right. Everybody die in a fire. Here's a fire. Jump on
here
in.
We are in Aberdeen. I'm enjoying the stout.
Right.
I only have one question for you.
I see the mistake.
Chips, fish and chips? No.
Nachos.
I want some nachos. I want some authentic nachos.
That's right. Authentic Irish nachos.
This one's not going to go my way. I can tell.
But you see, there is a thing called Irish nachos, and that's potatoes.
Oh, okay.
With cheese and bacon, and there is a
that's
thing
called a loaded potato. Okay,
that's exactly no, but you eat chips, but it's chips that they do.
All right.
So
in Aruba, they call those fiesta fries.
They're
basically nachos with French fries.
And here they're called freedom fries.
Freedom fries.
Because, don't you forget it.
Because we forgot that those were from Belgium originally. And they're French fries.
Yeah,
not
right.
Anyway.
Real French people.
I'm sorry. I'm not from here. Let's start with a story. You know what's been funny is we are brightly lit enough in here to where we've had like two or three groups of people going, oh, what y'all doing? And I keep wanting to go, hey, y'all can sit down and listen, but I know that's not what they want. They just go,
right.
These are people with headphones on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Let's just
holy
try
crap,
to
celebrities. Oh,
look at that.
They must be restaurant reviewers.
That's exactly. Doug, tell us about the nachos again.
They're amazing. Fuck all of you. I'm going to Nando's.
So let's start with the first story. A man finds heartfelt note in mailbox from firefighters who saved his home during the Palisades fire.
And then in parentheses it says,
look!
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 I don't know what that means.
Following the California wildfires last month, a Pacific Palisades resident anxiously awaited an opportunity to return to his home and examine the damage after the January fire that devastated his neighborhood. Tony Nesburn's home overlooking the ocean held priceless memories of his wife, Christina, who had sadly passed away a year ago. Oh, they're going for it.
Oh, yeah.
They're going for it. The belongings she left behind carried a deeply sentimental meaning for Tony, and he prayed they were saved from the fires. I feel like doing it. And soon, the whole family felt overwhelmed relief when they learned that Tony and Chrissy's house was miraculously saved. And now you know the rest of the story.
Ooh.
Hello.
That's so current.
Hello, sexual America. No. So upon returning home January 24th, Tony discovered a letter left in the mailbox by four of the firefighters explaining how they saved his home.
They peed on it.
Yep.
The letter or the home?
Yep.
Yes. All of it.
They'd,
saved everything.
They've been drinking a lot. They
yeah,
were
okay. Yeah.
When we returned a few days later, it brought us great relief. Did the firefighters too? To see that we were able to save your house. The house to the right of you was completely on fire. Was completely on fire, and burning the fence, and it was about to catch your house on fire. We stopped the fire from burning through your side door and kept the fire from your deck and the roof. Since then, our amazing team has found solace in your deck, gazing out at the beautiful Pacific Ocean. It offered a moment of calm amidst the chaos. So
in the clear
nice.
View where your neighbor once was.
Yes. They're like, yeah, too bad for them guys, but look at the view.
Yeah.
The pink ribbon, if it were still there, means the house was a save, and it gave us pride to hang it. We want you to know that you and your neighbors are in our thoughts as you rebuild and recover. El Segundo Fire Department Engine 31 C Platoon, Levi, Steve, Matt, and Jason.
Well, let me tell you, if firefighters saved my house, they can sit out on my deck
anytime
to watch the Pacific Ocean.
Yes, which would be really weird because you live in Hutto.
That's true.
What are you doing? We're looking at the Pacific Ocean. Two things.
We're really
one,
high.
One, you're faced the wrong direction.
And we're suffering from smoke inhalation.
Yes.
And Yellowstone exploded. Yeah. Took out half the continent.
Yep, that's gone. We don't know what happened. So Tony and his family soon contacted the firefighters in El Segundo and asked for their wallet.
No.
And learned that they had taken selfies of themselves from Tony's deck. And the five met for the first time during the public ceremony in L.A., in the Los Angeles beach town to honor the local heroes. Tony's cousins told GNN that words would not express how important it was that all his late wife's things had been preserved. He is still really mourning her loss, said Anna DeLuna. It really did feel like a miracle. We all said, Chrissy was helping the firefighters from the afterlife. So what we're hearing is Chrissy really liked firefighters.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, that's the point.
Yep. She got
this.
The calendar
and
every
then
year.
She went to the light. Jeez. That's.
Chrissy got a lot of play for not being involved in the story.
I'm enjoying
it.
Monica keeps looking at me like, "How dare you, Brett? What? I told the story."
With some editorial commentary, yes.
Well, yeah, we never do that here.
No, of course not.
You want to take the next one?
Sure, because I'm an old bird.
What? I don't know what you're talking about, Monica. Just read the story.
The world's oldest bird has returned to her home island to hatch yet another chick at nearly 74 degrees. 74 years old. I think it's 74 degrees.
74 degrees?
I'm old.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been writing heating and air conditioning yes. ads all day.
At 74, well, like at an angle of 74 degrees? Is that?
Named Wisdom, this Laysan albatross has been spotted this month caring for her youngster on Midway Atoll National Wildlife Refuge in the Pacific Ocean.
Cool.
Like others of her species, Wisdom returns to the same nesting site each year to reunite with her mate and, if able, lay one egg. For decades, park officials in the Hawaiian archipelago. Thank you. I've always had trouble with that word.
I thought it was archipelago.
It can be either one.
Okay.
Observed Wisdom doing this with her same partner named... God damn it.
Bob.
Bob. Just for the purpose of the story, his name's Bob.
Al. Al. We're
Akia
naming him
Kamai.
Al.
Yeah.
But that
I got
bird,
it. Akia Kamai.
Akia Kamai.
Yeah.
It means no worries.
Actually, it's Akia Kamai.
It means no worries for the rest of your life.
Come to my Akia.
For the rest of your days.
I can't wait until I go to Maui and I have trouble yeah. with all those names.
Not to be confused with Kamehameha. Yeah. That's different.
But that bird, the male bird, has not been seen for several years,
aww.
Which caused Wisdom to begin courtship dances
bang
with
another
other
dudes.
Males
bang another
last
dudes.
Year. She
losing.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Wisdom still got
putting
it.
Putting it down.
The spry septuagenarian is estimated to have produced 50 to 60 eggs in her lifetime,
wow.
successfully fledgling as many as 30 chicks. According to the expert staff at the refuge, 1,300 miles northwest of Honolulu,
sure.
albatross parents share the responsibility of feeding their young by taking turns hunting while the other stays at the nest to watch over the chicks.
Sure.
Hundreds of thousands of the gull-like seabirds began returning to Midway Atoll each November to nest and raise their young, and Wisdom has been doing this for the last 7 decades.
Yeah, they keep saying that.
Since General Eisenhower was the U.S. president. All right, well, she's old, but she's still got...
She got it.
She's still getting some.
That's right.
Yeah.
She's laying it down, as they say.
I wonder what Nando's would do to her.
She would be delicious.
I follow
up. I don't know, Doug. I'll find out later.
I follow something called the Ennis Owl Cam.
Okay.
On Facebook. And it's around the Waco area.
Okay.
And the Ennises are a family that I know. And they always build a little platform. And hopefully an owl will... nest there?
Yes.
The owl that has nested there has hatched, has laid 3 eggs, and 2 chicks have already hatched. And the papa owl is such a good provider. He always brings her a mouse.
Aww.
And, you know, tears it up for her and sure. gives it to her. She feeds it. Yeah. It's a nice little
EK
nice
loves
little thing.
Owls.
And I mean, I was surprised that the chicks made it through the cold weather that we had and all that, but...
I mean, they're owls, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yay.
Check it out. Ennis Owl Camp. E-N-N-I-S.
I'll tell EK about it.
Yeah, yeah. Watch a little family grow up.
Yep. this is an interesting story in that there's actually an update to this story since I have put it down.
See, if we had done this last week,
it would have been
misinformation.
We would have had to, we regret to correct. Good news about potential upcoming asteroid colliding with Earth. We've deflected them before. We can do so again. Can I get another Guinness, please? Thank you.
Two hearts. Thanks.
Going into my second beer.
I think the good news would be if it hit hard, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
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 Yeah. If we could target it just a little bit.
Can we drive that thing?
Yeah.
Is that a level one IT thing?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I've seen Armageddon. Weren't we supposed to stop it, not speed it up?
Going to get Robert De Niro, a high school named after him.
Yes. You may have seen headlines in the past few weeks about an asteroid with a slight chance to strike Earth in 2032. But don't worry.
What?
Humanity has a secret weapon. It's not a secret anymore.
Well, no.
Space test was conducted by NASA called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, which proved that as long as we have advance notice, we can send out a simple satellite to redirect any potentially hostile asteroids. Yeah, it depends on the size of that asteroid.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't they have one last year that went past us and we didn't see it until it went past?
Yes, yeah. But that was a smaller one.
Yeah,
it was still a scary one.
Yeah.
January 29th, NASA concluded its analysis of the orbit of the object 2024 YR4 and found it has more than 1% chance of impacting the Earth. Measuring between 130 and 300 feet in length, an asteroid of this size would impact with a force between 10 and 20 megatons, or around the same force as the Castle Bravo thermonuclear warhead, the largest weapons test ever conducted by the U.S. during the Cold War. It was detected by the NASA-funded Asteroid Terrestrial Impact Last Alert System, or ATLAS station in Chile, which has found potentially destructive asteroids in our neighborhood before. But what typically happens is that as more data is collected, the risk of the impact is perceived and at first as higher before eventually sinking back towards zero. So guess what happened? That happened again. They were like, 2032, we got to make some plans and do a thing and... Yeah, we're probably going to do this thing. And then they're like, we calculated more at zero.
Yeah, it's not going to hit.
researchers expected that the endpoint to shorten Dimorphos' orbit, which was the one, around Didymos. Wow.
Deimos?
No, D-I-D-Y-M-O-S. Oh. Didymos.
Didymos, okay.
By about 1% or roughly 10 minutes. Which, if applied to an asteroid with the potential to strike Earth, would be many times more of a correction than would ultimately be necessary considering the size and distances of outer space. So basically, they're just sending stuff to nudge it.
It's going to miss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't take much of a nudging, despite the Hollywood stuff. All you got to do is hit it far enough in advance and nudge it just a little bit, it'll bounce right off the atmosphere.
Yeah. Says, now we know that we can aim a spacecraft with the precision needed to impact even a small body in space. Just a small change in its speed is all we need to make a significant difference in the path to asteroid travels.
Damn it.
What's funny is I'd forgotten that I had put this up, and today I was watching a rewatch, YouTube thing where they watched... what is it?
Cat videos.
No. The movie, the Verhoeven film.
Deep Impact?
No, before that.
Before that.
And it was. Space. Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers.
Yes.
Thank you. Starship Troopers.
Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. But yeah, Starship Troopers.
I always get Deep Impact and Starship Troopers mixed up.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I always, yeah.
One had Taya Leone and the other one had... it didn't. It had the young doctor. It had Doogie Howser.
Oh, yes, as a Nazi. Yeah. As a space Nazi. But what was funny about that was they were talking about how, like, the great thing about Starship Troopers, I'm going to just go real quick, is that all the things that they go to war on the bugs for, it really, once you really pay attention to it, it was all the Earth caused it on itself.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a thing where an asteroid hits Earth.
Yeah.
Well, they blamed it on the bugs, but it ended up that when they were heading out to the planet to attack the bugs, they hit an asteroid, deflected its course, and that's the one that hit Buenos Aires.
Ah, I missed that part. Ironically, I've read the book and the movie, and I forgot that part.
Two different things.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Just, that was
an off ramp.
Sorry.
Yeah, the guy who directed the movie said he gave up in chapter two.
Yeah, Paul Verhoeven.
Okay.
Who did
of the book? He never finished.
He never finished the book.
That's like, chapter two.
This
but that's
sucks.
Okay,
I can make a better movie than this.
Oh, the dude makes great movies.
Yeah, this is true. Even Showgirls.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was
terrible.
I've never laughed
terrible.
So much
this
in
is
my
true.
Life.
This is true.
It's like. You know, it should be an Olympic record for making even boobs unsexy.
This is true. Yep.
We're not talking pop culture right now.
Can we do it later? Can
yep,
we? Can we?
Yep,
can
yep,
we?
Can we? Can.
You know what we're talking about?
And then
about?
Politics.
Censorship.
We're talking about theater.
Yes.
Theater.
Do it.
Because you can't keep good kids down.
Well, I mean,
no,
you
sir.
Can.
After having their fall play suddenly canceled due to subject matter and faced with continued monitoring by the administration, the students at Santa Rosa's High School Arts Quest Theater program refused to back away.
That's right.
Instead, they fought back the best way they know how, by co-writing a pointed, smart, and hilarious one-act musical called Redacted, which satirized the school district and the impulse to censor content deemed unsuitable.
Oh, I love it.
So, What happened was, let me scroll down so that it's not
sure.
Things under... Last November, after rehearsing for 4 months, the Santa Rosa students opened their fall play, Dog Sees God, Confessions of a Teenage Blockhead, by Burt V. Royal. In its imagining, the characters from Peanuts are grown up and in high school. Linus is a stoner, Lucy is in a juvenile institution, Pigpen is a homophobic, which is a problem,
yeah.
Because Charlie Brown is experimenting with his sexuality.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, your usual high school stuff, in other words.
Yeah.
But after opening night, citing complaints without elaborating, the school district suddenly canceled the play's remaining performances. Undeterred, students Dean Jansen and Leela Payne mobilized schoolmates to get on the phone to the local paper, the Press Democrat.
Yeah.
They also contacted the Mercury Theater in nearby Petaluma to check about availability. And the result was days of media coverage, hundreds of social media comments lambasting school officials' priorities, and 2 sold-out performances of Dog Sees God at the Mercury Theater that raised $3,500 for their theater program.
Sure.
So the district reversed course, formally apologized, and said the play could be produced on campus. But it also asked to proofread scripts of future productions and instituted an age restriction for certain shows with adult themes.
I mean, come on now. So go ahead.
So speaking with KQED, the singer and Broadway composer Sarah Bareilles, of Waitress and the Interestings, said the censorship at Santa Rosa High School makes me so angry, calling it a misuse of the district's energy.
Fair.
We think that by removing stories about problematic subject matter, it removes those experiences from the world. The world isn't getting less complicated because we talk about these subjects less. People are given less tools with which to cope with those subjects. So the district also installed a new principal at the high school, who last month raised concern about the content of three student monologues that were to be performed at the Linnea Festival, and asked that the monologues be approved by the students' parents. So in Redacted, a collaboration between the students and Brent Lindsay of the local theater company, The Imaginists, a group called Mommies Against the Arts intervened at a local school. They decided the librarian was too woke. So in the play that they produced, there are references to canceling plays, burning books, and the school board having nothing better to do. The mommies parade about, defending district employees, particularly those who make over $200,000 a year. One discovers the student scripts and screams, "You've been writing this without my approval? Burn these words." And the Santa Rosa High School Art Quest Theater students took this play to the Linnea Festival in Folsom and brought home the top award.
Nice.
Which is a great way to say, screw you.
Yes.
And one of the students said, "My experience with the school reminded me that we are not just performers. We are powerful, and our voices matter."
Yes.
You know who else's voice matter?
Nope.
Tell me, Monica.
Ours.
Yeah.
Which is why, if you want these voices to continue to matter, if you want these good, good stories to give you positive hope, by golly, you need to join Patreon.
That's right. That would be by going to patreon.com/2beersin, where there you can become one of us.
One of us.
That's right.
Of us.
That's right. I almost want to turn all of this over to Monica because she's been doing partner meetings and stuff and has been inspired, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do this way better than me.
It's the contagion of commitment.
That's right.
Yes.
All I've been learning this week is be interested, not interesting. That's what I've learned this week.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
What?
Oh.
Nando's chicken, Doug.
Oh, yes.
All right. You know it's terrible? So, and by the way, go to join, be part of us. You can also reach out to us at 2beersin@weightlesspod.com. Soon we will have an address if you want to send mail to us or things like that. Yeah, I just forgot to get it.
If the post office still survives.
That's right. So here's the thing. I've forgotten what song it is that we're doing this week.
Was it the song I suggested? Probably not.
It's a bop.
No.
It's not.
Well,
because
Professor Longhair is what we did before.
Right.
So then it's
and
the
then
other.
And then I made a suggestion.
You tell me what the suggestion was.
Was it Elaine Stritch?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes. Yeah.
So this this song has been recently utilized in a commercial for the new electric VW buses.
Yes.
And I was like, that is a great jingle. Is that a real song? And I looked it up and found out it is a real song done by legendary Broadway performer Elaine Stritch.
Yeah.
Who I emulate and want to be.
Watch out for the cable.
This woman, it just went through her career with no more F's to give.
Oh, she's the best.
She just lived life loud.
Yeah.
And drew a crowd.
She did Company. Is this from Company?
No.
Yeah.
No, it's just it's one of those, it reminds me like of a Noel Coward song or something like that in the way that it's lyrics.
I need to go look up some more Elaine Stritch stuff.
Yeah, everybody does. Yeah. Everybody need see.
She is.
Elaine Stritch.
Yeah.
And so it asks the question, are you having any fun?
Yep, that's right.
So,
well, we are having fun here at BD Riley's. We thank you for listening to us and making us part of your week. And I'm Brett Weaver. I'm having my second Guinness, and I'm feeling really good.
Guinness. It's Guinness. I'm Monica Ballard. I'm halfway through my Austin East Cider here
and
in a very tall glass.
And I'm drinking another Two Hearts.
Whoa.
That's right. It's okay.
It's a Bill Collins song.
We drove together, and, you know, Guinness is a lighter beer. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
It doesn't need
that.
A knife and a fork at all.
It does not. please listen to Elaine Strict, and talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
With a million smackers and nervous indigestion. Rich fellas, eating milk and crackers, I ask you one question. Are you having any fun? What you getting out of living? Who cares for what you've got if you're not having any fun? Are you having any laughs? Are you getting any loving? If other people do, why can't you have a little fun? After the honey's in the comb, all the bees go out and play. Even the old gray mare down home has got to have hey, hey, hey. Better have a little fun. You ain't gonna live forever. So while you're young and gay, still okay, have a little fun. Why should you work and save and save? Life is full of ifs and buts. Even the squirrels save and save. And what have they got? That's better, have a little fun. You ain't gonna live forever. So while you're young and gay, still okay. Fun, son, take it on the run, son. Get yourself some fun, son. Do it all for one, son. Imitate your mom, son, and have a little fun.
Good news, everyone.